everybody. Happy Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about legal developments, the big legal takeaways from 2024. If you have a question about a case or just to get my take on something that you're curious about, I welcome your questions and comments. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I've been talking about the Chevron doctrine. The Supreme Court got rid of it. This means that judges, without basically any standards, can just decide that they don't think a rule or regulation that is promulgated by the agencies within the federal government that are charged with keeping our air, our water, our food, our medicine, our land safe, with keeping competition in the marketplace fair for small businesses, from keeping businesses from abusing and defrauding you. Yep, judges can now just say, I don't like the regulation. I think it should be something else. This creates chaos in business. It's especially not good for small businesses. It basically only benefits, guess who, y'all? The billionaires, the donor class. And why do I say that? Because billionaires and donors, and by the way, foreign folks, are the vast majority of all stock owners. It benefits the hugest, most profitable corporations to the detriment of us all. And that means not only if you're a small business owner, are you going to enter into a much more complicated and fraught regulatory environment, you're going to be at a disadvantage to every big business out there, as if you weren't already. This is just going to make that worse. And to top it all off, as I like to remind people, regulations are for regular people. Because guess who never has to worry about getting clean air and clean water and the food that they're eating, being safe, or accessing medical treatments that they seek or want, or worrying about, you know, whether or not they're going to get defrauded? Guess who never worries about that? Really, 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 really rich people. So, yep, can we do better and make regulations more efficient, more effective? Heck yeah. But is this the solution to that? This ruling by the Supreme Court? Hell no. And every single one of us, every single one of you and your families, we are all going to pay the price for that. Join our conversation, 855-752-4842. We got Mark from Prairie du Sac. What do you say, Mark?
Well, I think our Supreme Court justices that voted for this nonsense should take a heap and teaspoon of a nice blend of powdered lead, mercury and arsenic, and see how well they do with that, because in the past they all thought that stuff was perfectly safe to have and that no harm done taking all that stuff. And that's just an example. That stuff is going to get dumped into our environment and people are going to be consuming. I mean, maybe that's a drastic example, but it's just ridiculous. These guys don't know squat about science, and that are even armchair scientists that,
right,
you know, that some of us are. That it is just ridiculous, because people are going to die because of this, and they should be held accountable for it. For God's sake, what, the first emperor of China apparently died of mercury poisoning because they thought it was just a wonderful compound
fine.
That was going to make him immortal.
Yes, they thought it was mercury, that thing, you know, that used to be in our thermometers that was silver. Yeah, drink silver, I become a god. Thanks so much, Mark. Remember the scene in Aaron Brockovich? Remember? Go back a few years. It was about a massive class action lawsuit. Julia Roberts played Aaron Brockovich. And as they get to the very end, when they're negotiating the settlement with PG&E, this energy company that polluted the heck out of people's land and caused all kinds of cancers and things, they were at the conference table, and as they're negotiating the settlement, Aaron Brockovich says to all the lawyers for PG&E, hey, those waters that you got in front of us, don't worry, that's that good water we got from the place where you dumped all your chemical waste. And all the lawyers sort of push the glass away, and it's dramatized. I doubt that really happened, but Mark's point is well taken. Remember, rich people don't worry about this stuff. And I'm not talking about, hey, you got a couple million, you're buying your kids their first house, helping them pay for it. No, I'm talking about stinking, filthy rich. Those are the people that will benefit from wiping out this standard. It is absolutely shameful. Greg from Waukesha, your take, sir, this afternoon.
Hey, I have actually a legal question for you. But first of all, I'm calling on my new pair of Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses, which help blind people. So I'm really happy that I hope the sound quality is okay.
You sound great, Greg. And may I say Happy New Year. And I'm really, really, really happy to hear that you have this new tool to help you. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to just got them for Christmas, and I'm going to definitely take them out tonight. I can read menus with them and things like that. But anyway, my legal question is this about the, and Happy New Year to you too, by the way.
Thank you.
The Geiser, Morgan Geiser trial. I know you're not talking about that right now, but I know that she was tried as a juvenile, right? So she was sentenced to juvenile court or whatever. And then she was given over to the mental health system. I just have a lot of questions about that case. Can you explain that, what actually happened yesterday or a couple of days ago, if you're aware of it? And I'm also wondering about the other party, Anissa Weir, I think was her name. Do you have any expertise on that? I guess, how did that all work itself out?
So I haven't, just so everybody's got context with Greg from Waukesha. Thanks so much, Greg. All of my best to you. Enjoy your evening out with your new smart glasses. Love it. Love it. What Greg is referring to is the Slender Man killings that happened a long time ago in Wisconsin. Within the last, I don't know, what is it, like 5 or 6 years, something like that. Both of the juveniles, young girls that were convicted, because they were juveniles, they were convicted as juveniles, and they were basically not sent to prison, but they were sent to a mental health facility for juveniles. And right now, Morgan Geiser's attorneys are trying to petition the courts for her release, saying that her mental health has been rehabilitated. She no longer needs to be incarcerated. Juvenile justice, Greg, I'll just say this. I don't want to get into the merits of that. But what they're going to look at, you know, is Ms. Geiser, in fact, completely rehabilitated? Is justice served by her being released, given that she was a juvenile? Juvenile justice is an enormous, and I'm going to call it the youth legal system, is a major problem in this country. We do not treat, not all children at the same age have the same levels of brain development. Trauma in childhood can create major developmental issues. There's a whole gamut of concerns around the youth legal system and how we treat youthful offenders. And that is certainly something that I'm going to take a note and we'll put down for future discussion on this show in greater detail. I really appreciate the question. And Cardi and I are going to take a note and we're going to remember to put that on the docket for a good deep dive right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You've got a question, you got a legal issue, something that popped this year that you're like, Mags, what the heck is that? What's your hot take on this? Of course, I want to hear from you because we're all about these great conversations. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Matt from Johnson Creek, you're up. What are your thoughts this afternoon, sir?
Hi, Maggie. When it comes to regulations, I get so tired of people talking about over-regulation because what people fail to understand, and if you've been in the military or if you've been in the environmental realm ever, you understand that no regulation exists in a vacuum, right? It would be wonderful if we could say, yeah, the market will take care of everything. But the problem is people will try and get away with things, right? We have the EPA basically because of things like Love Canal, where someone tried to poison people, or didn't try to, but poisoned people because they just didn't care, right? Because nobody told them they couldn't, which is a stupid way to act when somebody's health and well-being is on the line. Like, well, you didn't tell me I couldn't is not a good reason. Like, children died, children got cancer. You know, the Department of Energy after Three Mile Island, right? None of this stuff is not really proactive. It can be, and I think that's where overregulation can happen, sure. But nine times out of 10, you don't like a regulation, go talk to the person that had to be sued out of existence by the government, and the government had to pay for all their damages to the people that they harmed.
Yeah, I feel all of that, Matt. Let's recap everyone collectively together. the regulatory failures in this country, where because special interest groups and lobbyists prevented or basically extorted our elected officials into not doing anything. These are the regulatory failures in our country. Asbestos, big tobacco, PFAS. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about opioid manufacturers and distributors. So every time somebody, we got too much regulation. Well, regulation about what and to whose benefit? I actually do a guest lecture every year at Marquette University's College of Business about regulatory economics. Sounds real boring, doesn't it? It's actually not. Because this is where the action is. Every time you hear someone trot out some nice sounding, politically convenient attack on regulations or regulators, ask you who benefits, who ends up at risk, whose health is hurt, whose wealth is increased or decreased, who pays the price. Because if you start to look at that, we can have a better idea about whether or not this regulation is actually doing what it should. Why is it either good or bad? Because no regulation standing on its own is either good or bad. Regulations themselves as a whole aren't good or bad. The question should always be asked, what is the purpose? What is the result that we're seeking? And who seeks to benefit? Right? Because how do we determine what amount of regulation is just right? Right? Like, where is the supply and demand? How do we plot the supply and demand for regulation? It's people dying because corporations place profit seeking above public health at its most basic. And the regulatory system are the boundaries, the rules of commerce that try to make commerce fairer and yet safer for consumers, for you, for your family, for your kids. And of course, and yes, we can hold these competing, maybe facially competing ideas in their head. Yep, we need to look at who benefits from regulations, who pays the prices for regulations, what are the impacts on prices for things when we overregulate where we do. But we also can have this acknowledgement that regulations are for regular people and they help keep folks who don't have the millions of dollars themselves to put in the most sophisticated water filtration systems on the planet. It helps keep your regular water clean, the water that you and your kids drink. So we can hold these two ideas in our head and have a meaningful discussion about it. But let me tell you this. My point is very simple. The Supreme Court saying that non-expert judges are in the appropriate position to decide which regulations are good and which regulations are bad is a terrible idea. You want to talk about activist judges? How about judges acting to determine what regulations actually promote public health? Ugh, terrible, isn't it? Okay, we're going to take a break. I got to give a shout out. Dave from Madison, I see you, friend, on the text line. I really appreciate your participation. Tom from New Berlin. Yeah, how much is your uterus worth? Is it okay if regulations cause you to lose your uterus, become infertile? And who the heck stands in the way of companies abusing you and your family in that way? That's the fundamental purpose of government, the promotion of public health, safety, and welfare. That's what government does. When we come back, I'm going to talk about whether or not you will be able to continue to access the internet in a fair way and whether or not your internet searches will be protected from the prying eyes of private corporations seeking to profit over what interests you day to day. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're not going to want to go anywhere because, of course, we're getting to the Trump conviction. We got the sound all ready for you all. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back in just a moment.